Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. And we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. You can follow us on social media as well. I am at Chris_Broussard on Twitter. ChrisBroussard68 on the gram. And Rob Parker is at RobParkerFSR on Instagram. RobParkerFSR on Instagram. We got Randy Mueller, former NFL Executive of the Year, now a Fox Sports Radio NFL analyst who joins us every Tuesday to break down things in the NFL. So that'll be great at the bottom of the hour. You definitely don't want to miss that. Also, a little news about LeBron James and the LA Lakers. Stay tuned.
Who, me?
But before we go to that, we are going to stick with the NBA. And a guy that's a LeBron protege, Ben Simmons. We know he said a month ago, that he is not going to show up for training camp. And he's demanding a trade from the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, he's got 4 years, $147 million left on his deal. And Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN wrote an article today basically just saying the same thing, that Simmons and his camp are dug in. I've been told the same thing that they're dug in. He has no intention whatsoever of going to training camp. And the article that Woj wrote says he's let the Sixers know that he has no intention of ever putting their uniform on again. And he is aware of the financial ramifications of what he is doing. So he's owed 4 years, $147 million. So basically it comes down to this. They don't have to pay him, obviously, if he's not there. And they can fine him for not showing up. They could suspend him for failure to render services once the preseason game started. And that would cost them about $228,000 a game, a shade under that. Bottom line is it's going to cost them a lot of money to sit out. And they don't have a deal that they like. They've been talking about all summer. We know they've been talking to teams about trading Ben Simmons, and they haven't gotten the offer that they like. So this is a game of chicken. Is Ben Simmons really willing to go the distance and not play in Philadelphia? And are the Philadelphia 76ers willing to go the distance until they get an offer that they deem legitimate for Ben Simmons? Rob, where are you at on this?
I think the Philadelphia 76ers, I get it. They're in the business to win a championship. That's what their hopes and dreams are. But I think there's a bigger calling here and a bigger mission for the Philadelphia 76ers. Mm. The Philadelphia 76ers have to stop the madness. Ben Simmons is madness. And they have to stop this. And somebody has to stick up and bite the bullet for everybody else to get this thing corrected. And I'm dead serious. The Philadelphia 76ers should not NOT trade Ben Simmons and not give in. Tell that dude, do not come here. That's fine. We will not pay you one red cent, and you will sit out the year, do whatever you have to do, but we will not cave in, not be held hostage, not let the employees run the store. It ain't going to happen like that. And somebody has to stand up and say enough is enough. Ben Simmons, you failed. You didn't play up to your potential. They made a commitment to you. So what? You got your feelings hurt. You guys choked down a series in which you had four shots in the last four games in the fourth quarter. How the hell is your team going to win? And you're upset that Doc Rivers said he doesn't know for sure if he can win with you? Doc Rivers did cartwheels and backflips defending you to the media. Time and time again, Chris. Time and time. Until he couldn't do it anymore. I don't blame Doc. It wasn't the first sign of trouble that he went out and threw you over the side of the boat. He tried to defend you. He couldn't do it anymore and with a right conscience. And here, Philadelphia, stop the madness. The 76ers, make this guy give up that money that he doesn't want to earn. Sit out.
That, look, strong take. Strong take. And basically, obviously, as you've said, in your, what you're saying is that the bigger picture, the most important thing, beyond even in your words, a championship, is setting things right in the league.
Yes. This is
because
the league.
We saw James Harden. I think he had 2 years left on his deal when he left Houston. Anthony Davis had a year and a half left when he forced his way out of New Orleans. And now Ben Simmons, you talk about the granddaddy of them all, he got 4 years left. 4 years left.
I mean, that, Chris, that's unthinkable.
So what you're saying is, yeah, make the contracts worth the paper that they're written on. And, Rob, you know this. You know, like me, you've covered these leagues long enough. The owners are going to do it. I mean, if they don't do it, I'd be shocked, because the next collective bargaining, they're going to put some type of language in there, I would imagine. And, Rob, correct me if you think I'm wrong. I've covered, I believe, three lockouts, at least two in the NBA. The owners have won every one.
Oh, overwhelmingly, Chris.
Yeah, the owners win every year, because you're talking about wealthy owners who actually made their money and still make their money elsewhere.
They're not waiting on the NBA money.
Right.
Right.
So, and then you're talking about rich players and, you know, that's wealthy too. But they, at some point, most of them need that check. You know, everybody's not making $200 million. So they cave and they give ground every time. And Rob, the next time they have collective bargaining, one of the things the owners are going to push for, I believe, is language to stop this. You can't leave when you got all these years left on your deal. But to your point, your main point, I hear you. But if I'm the 76ers, I'm saying, why us?
Because somebody has to do it. Chris, your point, you know what? In every movement, in everything where you cause change, somebody has to sacrifice. And that's how things stay status quo, because no one's willing to fall on the sword first and say, we can't allow this to happen. And
but
I get it.
What if they say the owners, next time we're in CBA, we'll do it?
Now,
we got a chance to win a championship.
I'm not giving that
Why
guy.
Why are we giving that up?
He signed a contract with us. We gave him millions of dollars, Chris. We've done everything to hold up our end of the bargain. And he backed out on us. He screwed us, basically. And I'm not going to reward him by letting him go where he wants to go and letting him get his money when he decides, A, he was unprofessional not to contact the organization that pays him, and then to say, I'm not coming. You cannot come, but you're not, okay? You're not going anywhere.
Well, and here's the thing. And look, as you said, they don't have to pay him anything. If he's not showing up, they don't have to pay him. And that's all well and good, right? They get the, you don't have to pay them that $150 million or however long this lasts. Here's the thing, though. It's not like you get that room, that money removed from your salary cap. You know, it's not like you can use that money to go out and get somebody else. So that's why they're, you know, they got to consider trading him. And I get it. They want to hold out for a deal that, you know, they deem equitable. But when you typically trade superstars, you don't get our stars. You don't always get what's equitable. Here's what makes sense, Rob. I wouldn't go. I hear you because, you know, I'm old school and this stuff is getting kind of out of hand. But I think what is going to happen is the Sixers will wait. They'll start the season without him. They'll play. They got, you know, Tyrese Maxey, who looks like he might be okay as a point guard. And they'll see what happens with these other teams. Is it a mess in Portland? Is it a mess where Damian Lillard is, of course? Is it a mess in D.C., Washington, where Bradley Beal is? You know, do teams start slowly? Their season's pretty much over after a few months. And then do the offers improve for Ben Simmons? Does it, Chicago, we know they made a lot of moves, right, to get better. Does it work? If it doesn't work, are they willing now to move off of Zach LaVine or somebody like that? So I think that's the route Philadelphia will go. I hear you. I that's a bold stance, and, you know, I get the sentiment. But if I'm Philadelphia, I'm like, we can't just give up a season for the rest of the league. Let the owners handle that in collective bargaining, and they will handle it. But we're gonna do what's best for. And I think you're saying that ultimately. I don't think you're saying if they get a good. Well, are you? Are you saying if they get a good deal, still don't trade him?
No, I'm just saying that if you, I'm not going to give the guy away, and I'm not going to give in to him. I'm not going to let him force his way out of a contract that has 4 years left on it. This is just on principle. No, I'm not doing it. And even if it hurts us, you know,
if offered Damian Lillard, would you do that, or would you stand on the principle and look, we're not this dude, we got to fix the league?
Of course they're going to do it because it's a business. I'm just saying, if I'm running it, I would not give him his way. I'm talking about me. No, I would not.
You wouldn't do it for Dave Lillard.
I wouldn't do it. Nope.
Wow.
I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I would punish him from the standpoint that somebody has to have some sort of pushback. Yeah, and backbone. And stop allowing this to happen. Because now if you do that to a guy with 4 years left on his contract, somebody can sign, Chris, with your money
well,
and then leave.
Five is the most you can sign. So
right,
yeah.
and then leave after that. Leave after they sign. I don't want to be here. Right. You know what I mean? Because they get the max money with you. Why couldn't you do that? I'm with Charlotte. I signed a max deal. And then as soon as I signed the deal, I'm like, I don't want to play here.
Right.
Because I got max money now.
All right. Well, you hear Rob Parker taking a hard stand. What do you think about this Ben Simmons situation? Do you like Rob's idea? Or would you wait, like I said, wait until you get the great trade? And it might take a few months. It might be ugly in the beginning of the season. But I would do that. But Rob would take the hard stand. Where are you at? 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in on the Ben Simmons trade demands.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences,
loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burris on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios on a trash talking Tuesday. And look, if you're dealing with a dead battery, one place to go, AutoZone. It's America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing, which is awesome, and free battery charging, which is more awesome. So next time you're having battery trouble, go to AutoZone. It's the place to be for that. Your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in on the Ben Simmons situation. Rob says, make them pay. Literally. Do it for the league.
Do it for some sanity in the league. Joe in Orlando, you're on the Odd Couple. Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Joe?
Rob, you got to be out of your mind. This is a country built on free enterprise and capitalism. Now, usually you'd be for any player going to get their money. But I don't understand why you don't understand the situation. Didn't Philadelphia already
sign him? I do understand the situation. He signed a contract. He refuses to come to work, and I'm not going to reward him. What part? If he doesn't come to work, you don't get paid. What are you talking about?
I got you. But just as a company has their ways of how they would do business, this is how players have to do their business.
No. I'm saying Chris asked me if I was running the Sixers, what would I do? I'm telling you, I wouldn't give him his way. He signed a four-year contract to play in Philadelphia. I'm not giving him away, and I'm not bending. Like New Orleans had to give in to Anthony Davis. I'm not doing
it. That's not the same. They signed Ben Simmons knowing that him and Joel Embiid had a rift already. That's bad business.
No, he signed. If he had a rift, he signed.
I think that's where you're off, is that it is the same. I mean, you're under contract.
Yes.
And Simmons signed that contract thinking he was going to stay there. Simmons also is bothered that they traded him last year. They were ready to trade him to Houston. He thought he was on his way out the door. And then Harden, they had offers. They had an offer for Brooklyn on the table, and they had an offer from Philadelphia on the table for Harden. And the owner let Harden take his choice, and he chose Brooklyn. So Ben thought he was gone, though. So that's upset him, too. But the fact is, you are under contract. It comes down to this, Rob. It's how much juice do you have? Because the average American, once you sign a contract or you're working, you can't do this. If you're that good at your craft, then you got a leverage most people don't have. So that's why this is a game of chicken.
It is.
Because, you know, are they going to give in because he is a good player and he's a highly paid player? Or are they going to hold their ground?
Matthew in Winnipeg, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. How you doing? What's up?
How much juice does he have? Zero. Sorry, I hate to say it. Rob, you're so close on this. I'm not doing it out of principle, not paying him and not trading him. But I'm not trading him. They can't trade him for pennies on the dollar. They'll hurt their franchise. Like, the Dame Lillard's and those guys are out there.
What if they get a good offer?
I agree with you. What if they ultimately get a good offer?
To help their franchise. They need to help their franchise. But they can't just not play him. If he's willing to go out there, play, showcase.
No, I didn't mean it like that. That's not what I said.
He's not going to go to training camp.
I said if he doesn't, I'm not going to pay him. That's what I said. I didn't say not play him. If he comes,
no, they
100%
need to work. They need to work with him. Get a deal gun somewhere. But he needs to play, showcase his skill. It's time for him to take a look at himself and the mistakes he's made. He doesn't look very good. Yeah, no one wants to trade lots for him.
He definitely needs to look in the mirror. There's no doubt about that.
I don't think Philly's done anything wrong here. I'm sorry. Like, he got criticism and people didn't want to stand up for him anymore, Chris. How many times do you stand up for somebody?
Even if you could say Doc shouldn't have said that or MB should, fine. You should have shot layups. I mean, I got to admit, and I've said this before, right? Like, what bothers me with this with Ben is you're acting like the victim.
Right.
You're not the victim. You know,
it's not like you shot the ball and it didn't go in. Okay. The shots didn't fall. I got it. I can live with that. You're not even trying. That's the problem. Taz in Austin, Texas. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Taz?
Man, listen, I'm with Ben. Let Ben cook. If I was in my car, Rich Pauling to get me out of there. This is how I feel about it.
But that's what they trying. Go ahead.
He wanted to beat up. But when they turned their back on him in the public, his pride is hurt. His feelings is hurt. It's like they got to the altar and the girl said, no, I don't, you know? So
no, I don't, because they made a 5-year commitment for a max contract. That was the commitment they made to him.
Yeah, I understand that, but what I'm saying is that I think he's disgusted with the coach and MB for what happened after the playoffs, and he no longer want to work with them. That's what I think is all about.
That's a big part of it, but I just think he's got to look in the mirror too. He's got to look in the mirror and be like, he didn't deliver. At the end of the day, you know what? I'm going to be honest. And I don't know, maybe when you're making that much money, your ego's out of control. But Rob, if I was in Ben Simmons' shoes and Doc Rivers said what he'd say, you know what I'd be like? I got to go prove him wrong. And there's a part of you that, if you're honest, you'd have to be like, I can't blame me after the way I played. I've got to get better.
Yeah, but
Michael Jordan, when the Detroit Pistons had the Jordan rules and they were beating up on him, we all saw it in The Last Dance. Rob, you and I, you were covering the league. I wasn't at that time. But we all knew he said, I got to get stronger. Yes. I was not strong enough. If Michael freaking Jordan and putting up 35 to 40 points a game in the playoffs could say, I need to get better, why can't Ben? And I'm not all the way with Rob on that stance, but that's what upsets me. Look in the mirror, dude. And take some responsibility for what you didn't do or did do.
See, it's easier to work with somebody, Chris, who does that, takes that approach. But this approach, like, that he's the victim and the Sixers did him wrong because of some post-game comments? For real? For real, right?
It ain't there.
What life were you living?
He can want to trade all he wants. What life were you living? But yeah, you got to take some responsibility. For what that was just bad. What we saw, that was bad. They had no business losing the freaking Atlanta Hawks. All right,
no,
we got Randy Mueller coming up in a moment.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Our next guest joins us every week. He's a Fox Sports Radio NFL analyst, also a former NFL Executive of the Year, Randy Mueller. Randy, how are you?
What's up, Randy?
What's up, guys? Good to be with you again.
Good to have you. And the game of the week was obviously Baltimore 36, Kansas City 35. And there's a lot of different angles to look at from this game. But I'm going to look at Kansas City, actually the first 2 weeks for them. Their defense is giving up a lot. How much of a problem do you think that's going to be for them in the playoffs? And do you think that defense can improve to a significant degree? Because it looks like they need to.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Chris. They got to get better. They got to find a way to rush the passer. They're nowhere near where they were a year ago. But here's the other thing. Would it surprise you if I told you the second worst defense yardage per game wise was Baltimore?
Wow.
No. Yeah, now, they've played two good teams, though, so far.
Yep.
With the Raiders and the Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah.
Both of those teams are going to have to do something on defense, though, to make it work. They've got to get better. They've got to get more physical. You know, there's no reason that the Chiefs should get pushed around against the run like they do. They've got big, strong defensive linemen that really can play the run well. I just think they've been careless. They haven't filled the gaps. Some of their linebackers haven't been what they were. There's definitely room for improvement.
Mm. Let's talk about Monday night's game. The Lions, I call the Lions the General Hospital of the NFL. because teams always get well when they play them. But Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, they got well. What do you think of Aaron Rodgers? I thought people made too much of game one, which I thought of as you know, a bad day in the office, at the office. What do you think of Aaron Rodgers and how he played?
It's really hard to say. I mean, I understand where the Lions are. I think we all do in rebuilding. I don't want to say the Washington Nationals, but you know, they're struggling to put, you know, they're trying to put it together. You know, they're just not there yet. That's just the way it is. So you're correct, Rob, in saying that they were the right tonic to make the Packers well. I'm not going to put much into it. I think here's the thing, and we talked about this last week with Aaron Rodgers. When you put the attention on yourself like he has, there's just not a lot of margin for error. And so you've got to play good every week.
So let's go to the Jets. And a lot of people are talking now. Sam Darnold,
he's looking
was
good
a
down
turnover
there.
Machine with the Jets. Now he's 2-0 and looking pretty good in Carolina. Zach Wilson, 4 interceptions in his first 10 passes on Sunday. And people are blaming the Jets organization. Obviously, the players, Darnold has something to do with it too. But, I mean, you've been in the front office. A lot of people might say, well, how can the front office or the way the organizations run impact players like that? Talk to us about the impact that, you know, a struggling organization, to put it kindly, can have on the performance of the players, and how much of it with Darnold do you think deserves to be on the Jets? And do you believe that he's fixed, so to speak, or will he come back to earth?
Well, a couple things, Chris. One thing in particular, coaching does matter. I don't care what anybody says, coaching matters. And the scheme matters. And I haven't been thrilled with the scheme that the Jets have rolled out there this year. But here's the other thing. The GM there, who everybody loves, Joe Douglas, has been there 3 years. It's not like they're in year one of building this roster. So in my opinion, they should be better. Now, they've been banged up front, but I think they should be better around him. Again, I'm not thrilled with the scheme they're running. I saw some things that Zach Wilson is going to struggle to do. I understand where Robert Saleh is coming from in that he doesn't have to hit a home run on every throw, that being boring is okay. I get it. But they're just not, as a group, especially on defense, ready for prime time yet, and that's disappointing. With regard to Sam Darnold, I think Joe Brady has done an awesome job, and I think you're probably looking at a future head coach if he can reclimate Sam Darnold. I think Sam's been good, but here's the other thing. Because to answer your question, it is an organization that puts this together, but guess who has the best defense in the league right now? It's the Carolina Panthers.
Right. And let me tell you, they're going to be 3-0. No Tyrod Taylor on Thursday, right, Houston. They got a good shot to start 3-0 in that game. If Tyrod was playing, it would be a little different because you know, they he's not playing. So I think they got a good shot. What about the Raiders? Raiders have had two good wins, 2-0. Where are the Raiders and how real are they?
I'm surprised by where they're at. I'm happy they're where they're at. Here's what I think. Derek Carr is coming into his own. He did a year ago. I know people want to bang him for whatever reason, but this kid has come a long way. And the questions that I had about him coming out of Fresno State kind of have been answered, and it's taken a while. But this kid has stepped up his game in toughness, both physically and mentally. He's had to have thick skin to deal with John Gruden week in and week out. I chuckled when I heard John Gruden said, "I've always been a big Derek Carr supporter." Well, someone's been shopping this kid for 2 or 3 years. I don't know who that would be if it wasn't John.
Right.
You know. So it's easy to jump on board now, but I think you've got to give them credit, and you got to give Gus Bradley a little credit. He's made things simple on defense, but you know what? They're not making mental mistakes, and they're in games, and their defense is getting it done, and Derek Carr is carrying them. There's never been a question about his arm, his release, any of his physical skills. It's always been the other stuff, and he seems to have that under control. I love the way he's leading this team now and stepping up and really being the face of the franchise.
Randy, in Dallas, so far, Tony Pollard looks better than Ezekiel Elliott. Obviously, they're going to stick with the two-back, you know, rotation. But can that become a problem if Pollard continues to outshine Zeke? or not? You think there it won't be an issue?
Well, Zeke's going to the bank every 2 weeks, and I don't think that's going to be a problem, and that means something. But having said that, I don't know if you guys remember Ricky Waters, the Notre Dame back who played at Philly. He played for us in Seattle, and he was a really good pro. We drafted Amon Green 1 year, and I remember Ricky Waters coming on, beating my door down as a GM in Seattle by saying, I can't get better if I'm not on the field. And we were trying to spell him. We were getting Amon Green in the game. But it does take a special person to realize that. I don't know Zeke well enough to know that, you know, I see him with making the motions of feed me, feed me, feed me. That may not bode well if he's not in the game. So hopefully he understands that they're better if they do have a two-headed monster. I think the question becomes the investment they've made in him financially, is that worth it? But, you know, that's a whole nother day and a whole nother story. But I love the fact that there's two backs doing a good job. I don't know how long that can last.
Last thing, we got less than a minute. The Cowboys did get that win, but the Chargers were terrible, sloppy. Two touchdowns taken off the board. What do you make of that? Is that coaching? Is that something that can get turned around? Because you just can't give up two scores that have to come back.
Here's what I think of the Chargers, and I spent 10 years there, so I kind of know them probably too well. They've always struggled dealing with prosperity. Prosperity is a thing. They were coming off a big win the week before. It looked like they were mentally at times taking some plays off. They weren't as sharp as they were. I credit Dallas. Dallas came after them, and they were the more desperate team. And sometimes that determines who wins in the NFL. But I'm just not convinced, because I like the Chargers, I'm just not convinced they can be consistent enough to deal with prosperity when they have a good game. They're young. They're a little inexperienced at times. They've got to find a way to level things out and be more consistent in every facet of the game. We haven't seen that yet.
All right, Randy. We appreciate the knowledge as always. Great
appreciate
stuff.
You.
We'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, the NBA's worst-kept secret has been officially revealed. We'll get into that next. All right, couple Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And we are brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas. The greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. When you heading there next
month? I love going. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go there next month in October, definitely.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I like going too. My wife and I like visiting Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas is good. It's good for a couple. It's the best three-day weekend, Chris, you can have. It really is. All the food and the action.
And
the
that's
atmosphere.
All you need, really.
What?
It's about 3 days.
No, right.
You know
Vegas
what I mean? You're about ready
days.
To go
yeah.
after
oh, yeah.
3 or 4 days
yeah.
max. Yeah. All right. Rob, let's stick with the NBA. And Carmelo Anthony, who we know has joined the Los Angeles Lakers, he came out in a recent interview podcast, and he said that LeBron is the GM of the Lakers. All right. Now, I don't think this is much of a surprise.
No breaking news. I agree with you there.
Here's what we want to discuss, though. If you're Rob Pelinka and you got the title, are you cool with, like, if you were in that situation, would you be cool with that? Like, you know, he has to run everything by LeBron. Everybody in the league, you know, obviously Rob Pelinka's doing some stuff, but the perception in the league, the perception in the league is that you ain't really doing nothing. You're a puppet for LeBron. And yet you get the paycheck. You get the credit in some way, right?
But, I mean, but you he are didn't win executive of the year. When they won the championship, Chris, and it says something. It does.
Right, because the big move that helped get them the championship was what? Anthony Davis.
Exactly.
And that had nothing, nada, to do with Rob Pelinka. Anthony Davis picked the Lakers.
And see, that's what I'm saying.
And he's with Clutch Management, which is LeBron's group, and Rich Paul's agent. And they basically, you know, bogarted their way to L.A., and that had nothing to do with Rob Pelinka. It could have been Rob Parker as the GM. It wouldn't have mattered.
And we would have gotten it done, right.
Real talk. If I wasn't, you know, involved. What I'm saying? And so, all right, would you be cool with it? David Griffin wasn't cool with it. Remember, he,
I wouldn't
the GM
be cool
that
with
won
it.
The championship?
I wouldn't like it if he
in Cleveland,
that out
he said
there.
He was miserable. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it. I mean, if Carmelo, like, did LeBron, wait a minute, I get it. You're friends with LeBron, and LeBron called you or whatever. But I did, like, facilitate this. I'm the general manager. You don't have to put me out on Front Street like that, make me sound like I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. I mean, that's what it sounds like. I'm sure Rob Pelinka isn't cool with that.
Here's what Melo said on the podcast. He said LeBron called him and said, yo, I need you. And Melo's response was, say less. You ain't got to say nothing. And then Melo was like, I already know what time it is when you hit me direct. The GM ain't hit me. You the GM. Okay, so you wouldn't be cool with Melo putting it out there.
No. Nope.
Would you be cool, though, with the position? Or would you be like, you know what? I'm out of here.
You already, no. You.
I'm just
no.
collecting a paycheck.
No, he ain't going to go nowhere, but I'm just saying,
yeah, okay.
Like, just to have it publicly, like, I don't matter, I'm a non-factor. I you know what I mean? Like, I hold the title, and yet he's going to put out there that LeBron's the GM, and I don't matter, I don't count. I mean, I just think if I'm him, I wouldn't feel that great about that. That's all.
But you take the money and maybe the championship if they get one, right?
Yeah. I mean, what other choice do you have?
Because ultimately, right, Rob Pelinka is going to go down as the guy. And here's the thing. I mean, it doesn't happen everywhere. You know, Michael Jordan didn't run the Chicago Bulls. Sure, he said some things they like him to do, whatever. But that was an issue there. If Jerry Krause wouldn't bring back Phil Jackson, Rob, and we know that's why they split up.
Right.
And I think that was a mistake. They might have had another championship in them. Who knows? And so I think sometimes the GMs, and especially the GMs, even coaches, but especially the GMs, they can get too full of, like with David Griffin, I was like, okay, you were miserable. You didn't have fun. But guess what? It ain't about you having fun. It's not about you getting credit. It's about us winning championships. Right?
No,
and you can come along for the ride or not. But we're going to win it with or without you.
Right, and most people are going to go along for the ride, even
right.
though they might not like it. And especially the way it might wind up after it's all done when LeBron leaves you, you know what I mean, with a mess.
Yeah, but you got rings. You take them rings. The jewelry!